My name is Mary Black. I'm 56. Today is October 28th, 2017. I'm at the Evergreen Park Library. I am the staff member, facilitator, and daughter of Veronica Carberry.
Oh, I'm the storyteller. I'm Veronica Carberry, and I'm at the Evergreen Park Library.
I'm 85.
And I'm 85 today.
Oh, you said that.
I'm Sean Carberry. I'm 17 years old, and I'm here at the Evergreen Park Library on October 28th, 2017. And my relationship to the storyteller, I'm her grandson.
Hi, I'm Therese Rossetti. I am 59 years old, and today is October 28th. 2017. It's my mama's birthday, and I'm at the Evergreen Park Library. And my relationship to the storytellers, she's my mama.
Good morning. I'm Jim Carberry. I'm 54 years old. I'm at the Evergreen Park Library. I'm here with my mom, who is the storyteller.
My name is Mike Carberry. I am 51 years old. It is October 28th, 2017. I am the son of the interviewer, storyteller.
Hello, I'm Jerry Carberry. I'm 61 years old. Today's October 28th, 2017. I'm at the Evergreen Park Library, and I'm the oldest son of the storyteller.
And now begin.
And I'd like to start off with a couple questions for the storyteller. Mom, when I was young, I struggled in grammar and phonics, and you did a lot of tutoring of me, like on Saturdays, and I was wondering, who made an impression upon you, and how did you, you didn't have a college education, but yet you were really good at teaching phonics and grammar. How do you think you learned that skill?
I learned the skill in school myself, and I was good at it. I was told I was good at it, even though I didn't pursue education to the degree that you're saying, like high school and college, but the teachers told me I was good at it.
No, you were.
And I was in plays when I was 10 years old. There were Shakespeare plays that were sometimes difficult to read and pronounce. Mm-hmm. So I wanted you to succeed, and I...
Oh, you did a great job, and I was going to ask, was there a teacher in particular that made an impression upon you when you were a young girl?
Yeah. Her name was Miss Pritchard.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh. Was she in England, or was she...
She was in England.
Oh, okay. Very good.
And I was about 10 or 11 years old, and I met her. And, she was a big influence of getting ahead. And
well, then I guess I have to thank Miss Pritchard and yourself for my passing on your...
I thank her,
skill.
Too.
And thank you. The other question I had was, When you came to the United States, how did you decide on being becoming a flight attendant, or I guess in those days called a stewardess? What was your?
I wasn't thinking about it then. I just wanted to explore and see everywhere and everything, and I went to California in 1953, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
and on the old 66, and I stayed with my Aunt Rose, and it was my Aunt Rose who suggested I go to work for, try go to work for the airlines, because at the time I was working for Kaiser Aluminum out there, and I used to have to take three buses in the morning, and the transportation system was very poor in California. So anyway, I said to her, "Nah, they won't take me. I'm not a citizen." And she said, "Let's go try." So she rented a car and a driver and had them drive us to the airport. So I went in the first place, and I think it might have been American Airlines, and they said, oh, no, you have to be a citizen. So I came in and said, you see, Rose, you have to be a citizen. She said, oh, go on in there. Try the next one. So I went in the next one. I forget who it was, Capital or if it was United even. And that failed also. So then I went next door myself to TWA, and I was hired. And I came out, and they had said to me, you'll be in Kansas City in 6 weeks training. And it was exciting.
So that's
how it happened. It was a good thing.
Like a cold call. It was good.
It was like a cold call.
And
I was just 21, so I was at the right age, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know what else I remember when we were younger? I remember your setup board, and I remember how you always exercised, and that made an impression upon me. Who made an impression upon you as far as that's just something you did on your own, as far as being physically fit? Do you remember your setup board you had at home and used to?
I remember.
You had an incline board for setups, and then used to watch TV. I remember and do the. Exercise class when I was young.
That's right. It's coming back to me now. There was a fellow, and I think his name was Paul Gibson, on TV, and he was the one that had the board. And it was, if you had your head down, see, it was harder to do a sit-up.
Right.
Than if you were, they're dreadful to do anyway.
But anyway.
Still. Yeah, that's how it was on the TV, just trying to stay fit.
One last question. I was thinking, what qualities did you admire most about Dad or your husband, and what in those qualities would you like to see your children and your grandchildren?
That's a very easy question for me to answer. It was his sense of humor,
mm-hmm.
and his kindness. And he was very patient and I thought wise at the time. Mm-hmm. Not always wise, but at times he was very wise, yeah.
Very good.
And I loved his temperament. He never got real. It took a lot to make him angry. And I admired that about him. And he was always, I thought, wonderful with your children. You didn't want to disappoint him.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
For sure.
Well, thank you very much, Veronica.
Who's next in the hot seat?
I'll go.
Mike, you have to sit here.
Okay, I am Mike Carberry, and I am the youngest.
You're my youngest
of
son.
Six.
The baby.
I'm the baby. And here's my first question. What images, when you first came to America, are planted in your memory? What were your feelings and thoughts when you came here?
Oh, my God. That's amazing. That's a very good question. I thought I was in Tomorrowland. It was so stunning. I'd never been in a building more than 3 or 4 stories high. And when I got into New York, I was met by a AAA man that they'd hired to meet me and take me around the city. And I stayed overnight in the hotel on the 65th floor. I'd never been that high in my life. And it was a 3-room, it wasn't just one room. It was like a little condo or something that you'd call today. And there was mirrors all over the place, and I was scared to death. And I looked out the window, and the people were like little ants down below. I'd never seen anything like it. So I was both excited and scared. And but the next day, I had an address to go look someone up. And I went to the Bronx, believe it or not. I didn't know where the Bronx was, but I found out, and I rode the subway in New York City and the buses. And when I went there, they weren't home. Well, there was no phone call, phone number or anything. I hadn't wasn't able to call. So I was sort of disappointed they weren't there, but I was still excited to be in this country and walking around New York City. So I went back, and I think I saw the city, took me around to see the sites, you know, the Empire State and that. And then he picked me up the next morning and put me on the Pullman train. No one had ever, it was like when you go to the museum and see the toilet came out of the wall, the sink came out of the wall, the bed came out of the wall, you press the button for this and that. And this was 1950. You know, I'd never seen anything like it. I thought, oh my God, this is, it was like being in Tomorrowland, coming from where I came from.
And how old were you?
18.
And how did you get here?
I came on the Mauritania, a beautiful ship. And I had my own cabin.
Who saw you off?
My Aunt Kit, my mother's sister, in Southampton. And it was 6 days sailing here, but it was beautiful, beautiful ship. And I met an Irish girl. I remember her name, Lucy. She was going, I can't remember where she was, somewhere upstate New York, I think she was going. But it was beautiful.
And
I remember seeing the Statue of Liberty, and that was, it was in the morning. You know, very early, like 6 in the morning or something. And that was exciting, seeing that. We sailed right by it. That was great.
And how long after, so you get settled in and you're to California and you get the job, and then how long after you're 18, when did you see Grandma again, your mom?
3 years.
Where? 3 years after?
She emigrated 3 years later and stayed in New York. She had a job in New Jersey. And then I was flying at that time. So it had to be more than that. I'm not sure of those dates. But she did get a job in New Jersey. And then she went later on and got working on ships herself. Have those dates.
No, Grandma was, at that point, was fully committed to staying in America. She left her life behind and...
Oh, yeah.
Her home.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think she had some arrangement made with her brother-in-law, and because he took over the house we had in Liverpool, and the furniture and everything. And when she came, and she worked her way herself there, because I was, at that time, I was living in California, then Kansas City, then Chicago.
So then you met her in New York City?
When I got off, I went to see her in New York City. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She lived on 3rd Avenue. I mean, I almost need a little preparation for the dates.
Yeah, right.
That's okay.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
I'll let everybody else.
You ready?
Ask.
Okay, Jim,
questions.
Your turn.
Thanks, man.
Okay. Oh, are we going? Don't do this to me now. Can you hear?
I can. And I'm Jim Carberry.
Hi, Jim.
You know, Mom, it wasn't until Maggie did a school report that I kind of learned more about your childhood. Why is it that you never shared that with us?
Well, it was unusual. It was, no one could relate to it, really, because it was there was separation first. My father was an alcoholic, so there was no dad. And then there was war. The war came, and it was bombs were dropping and going under in shelters or under the stairs or... And then it was my evacuation and going on a train. When you're, that's why I never talked about it. With a duffel bag and a gas mask. And then asking people, hey, would you take in this little girl? She's from the city. So, it's, however, it turned out well.
Well, it's amazing.
Because the people turned out, they had no children of their own, and they kind of spoiled me in their way. They were poor people. But, you know, you got, like, rations, and I, for instance, I wouldn't, I remember this because I hated margarine. I wouldn't eat it. And you got a ration of 2 ounces a week, and they'd give me theirs. So, and... I went to church 3 times on Sunday. I went to the Catholic church on a bus for 10 miles and fasting. And then I went to the Presbyterian church, and then I went to the Methodist church, which I liked the best because they had a children's mass. And it wasn't Latin, and I could... They would talk to you like you were, you know, you understood Jesus. And I'd heard all the parables and all the stories long before any Catholics had, because it, when they went from Latin to English, I knew all those stories, you know, because I these people were talking to me. She used to say to me how she saw Jesus and was playing the organ. And
who's that?
Mrs. Tilly. Mrs. Jones, that I was evacuated with. I was with them 3.5 years. And it was a very different life. And they had just gone up to, taken me in, after we'd traveled all that day on the train, leaving kids off at various towns and villages to be housed away from the bombing, see. That was the idea. It was really wonderful. That they did that, and people were so good. And this man took me, I'd never been in a taxi before, and we're in this little village where there's only about 5 homes far apart. And they walked up a hill and over a stile, and he said, and it was dark. And he said, we've got this little girl from Liverpool, would you take her in? You know, it was, when I think about that. But it turned out to be, they were very nice people to me.
Was that 1939? Or?
No, that was probably 1940.
40.
41. I was about 7 or 8. But she was fussing. She never had a kid in that place, you know, and she was saying, well, she didn't know how to treat kids. And I was sitting there, and she was saying, would you like this to eat? Would you like that to eat? And getting the little, whatever she could, you know. But, I never thought about it a whole lot. Now I am. They were nearly dead. As you know, they sent gifts to you guys. Do you remember? They were little bundles of pencils. And
yeah.
They were very modest little things, you know, but so that tells you how they were. You know, they were good people.
Well, where did you go after the 3.5 years with them?
So... I went back home, and my mother was then working on the ships.
Well, now she, where's back home?
In Liverpool. And I'd only seen my mother twice in those 3.5 years. And once is when I was burned, you know, on my legs, and the other was when I had measles. Because as she was working, she was a sole support because there was no Social Security then. So she had to make money for me. I didn't understand that then. But I always wanted to go home, even though they were good to me. I always knew I wasn't home. And what happened was my mother somehow got hold of my grandparents' address in Ireland. And I wrote to them. And they were just so amazed. They thought we were killed in the war. So they immediately got in touch and said, please come. So my mother and I went. And it was so wonderful.
Back to Ireland.
I saw my grandmother, you know, that I didn't remember. I hadn't seen her since I was 2 or 3, I think. And she was, and my uncle was there, sort of newly married, because they only had one child at the time, living with them, which is what happens in Ireland, you know. So they were so welcome and so loving. I'd never experienced anything like it in my life. So I begged my mother. I didn't want to go back to school. I was 13. And I didn't want to go back. And I begged her, please, please let me stay. So she did. So I stayed there for, I think, almost a year. And it was the most wonderful time of my life up to that.
With your grandparents?
And with that lovely atmosphere, kindness. It was always stress and pain and running and terrible things. Before that, with my mother in Liverpool. I don't mean now with Mrs. Jones, but with Mrs. Jones and Willie, even though they were good to me, I always knew I wasn't home. And, you know, I was always wanting something. So that's what happened in Ireland.
What city is that you were in Ireland then?
Well, it wasn't in the city. It was in the country.
Well, what town?
It was
Westport.
Clare. Ballinslaver, Clare was the name of the
suburb of Westport.
Yeah. 4 miles or 5 miles from Westport.
And were you there with your cousins and everybody then, or Rose Kelly?
Oh, no, they weren't born yet. I was Rose's godmother. Okay. So she was, I remember that's what, I wanted to go home then at a certain time. I wanted to go back. And Mary B. said, well, why don't you stay? You can be Rose's godmother. So I'm her godmother. So I'm about 13 or 14 years old, older than Rose.
So well, that's, why'd you leave after a year and a half then, if you were enjoying it so much?
Well, I had to go home, go to school. I wasn't going to school. I was 13. We took off a year, you know. And so when I went back, this is something I have to say to credit the British government. They, while I was evacuated, they sent a school teacher just to teach me Catholicism in the school. And I was in a public school. It was a little village school, you know, it was like 3 rooms. But nevertheless, she came twice a week, and I learned my catechism and all that stuff. And you have the picture on your wall. She took that picture. Mm-hmm. That was Miss Breen.
Wow.
And
your communion picture, Mom?
No. The one with the little, I'm dressed, you'd think the kid with the clothes on me were like you'd put on a 5-year-old, and I'm like 10 or 11. With the bonnet?
Mm-hmm.
She took that picture. Mm-hmm. So they did that, and I got off track saying that. I don't know where I was. Oh, I went to boarding school, because my mother had to have someone to care for me, and she wouldn't have that I'd be on the streets, you know. So it was before I went to Ireland that I went to boarding school, but that was terrible. Terrible place. I was there 2 years. Then I went to Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah, I had it kind of, I haven't thought about it for a long time. But that was like you were in dorms and it was awful. But that's where Miss Pritchard was.
At the boarding school?
Yeah.
In Wales, was that Wales?
North Wales, yeah. Colomendy.
Well, it's an amazing story.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unique.
Thanks, June. Thank you, Mike.
Okay. I'm going to bring the font.
Yeah, who could relate to that in this?
Well,
you know, when you couldn't tell girlfriends or anybody that. You couldn't even imagine.
No, it's interesting.
Well, it's important because, you know, it demonstrates your resilience, right? That you're able to live through that and then have a wonderful life.
Yeah, and wonderful kids. It's true, because we used to, I mean, when you think of it, I was seven, I was running out in the street, and we were picking up shrapnel and pieces of airplanes and saying, describing the screaming bomb that came down, or the other, you know, the bombs used to whistle sometimes, and they were coming, and then there was a big boom at the end, like you hear in the movies. That's the way it was, and we picked up, and this they would identify pieces of bombs and planes, and if they shot down, a Spitfire shot down a German plane, was big, and celebrations, and you saw those balloons they used to put in the air so that a plane would fly into it and blow up. That kind of stuff. Who can relate to that?
No, well, certainly no one today.
No. No.
Mom, it's such a great day, and you've done such a wonderful job, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question, because I work at a library, and I love books. You're a great books leader. You're a great reader. Were there any books or authors that you read that inspired you, especially in your pursuit of adventure, how much you love to travel? And how you have such great recall of places and geography. I admire that so much.
Well, the first book that I really loved was The Scarlet Pimpernel. And he was kind of an adventurer.
I remember you gave that book to Therese.
I haven't. I gave it to
him. I didn't read it.
Well, I was only a kid, you know, I think. But anyway, I just remember that, and that started me. I always wanted to see the world, and I wish Paul were here, because he'd make some comment, I know, about Egypt.
All right.
I always wanted to see the
pyramids,
that your father would not think of going. He said, "What are you thinking of? No way would I go there with those people."
Well, you got him to go to China.
Well, he did mellow out.
And you got him
in the end.
Right.
Oh, yeah, he loved that.
Right.
And he got to, yeah, he did. He went to Italy how many times? A couple. Ireland, many love going to Ireland. So, and I believe in travel because it's a great equalizer. And I always wanted, I encouraged Jerry to go. I wanted Therese to go, and Jerry did go, and he did well. He saw everybody I ever knew, which I always admired that. He found everyone, and he got along with everybody, and he always got right in there, you know, with them. And I wanted all of you. I wasn't able, you know, we didn't have the funds all the time to do that. He made his own money, fortunately, to do that, but I think it's a great education when you see the world and see the way the other people, they're all the same, really. We all got the same hopes and dreams. And
I have another question, Mom, because I could never ever do plays or acting, and I always so loved to go to your dress rehearsals at Brother Rice or St. Catherine, and I was always so proud that you were my mom.
Really?
Yes. And I hated the 50-50s of the United States that they made us do at St. Catherine's.
Oh, my God.
But I always thought, wow, how can she do that? Stand up there, sing, dance. Did you ever think of that as a career or something you might do? Did you ever dream of that as a child?
Oh, yeah. I used to put on shows for Willie and Tilly, and I was only 8. They used to have a curtain that, like this, that hung behind the front door that kept the draft out. Mm-hmm. And that would be, I'd come from behind the curtain, you know, do my thing and sing and dance. Well, you know, when I was real little, they used to put me up on a table or a chair and have me sing the Rose of Tralee.
Oh, there you go.
Well, that's what you did in those days. You had to entertain, because there was no TV. You had to sing or tell a story. Like in Ireland, that was one of the things that was so wonderful. You know, they'd all sit around the fire, the open fire. And old Mike Mack would come, and he'd have one leg longer than the other. So he wore, it wasn't fixed, you know, in Ireland. If you're worn that way, it stayed that way. So he'd come with Mike Mack, and he'd stretch the big legs out, and he'd say, well, now tell us about, we'll tell you about the land when Timothy went over to the land of the saints and scholars. And, you know, and he'd tell stories, and it was fun. And so that's where it came from.
Oh, well, that's one of my fondest memories. Another one is your Volkswagen Bug. I can remember when I had a cast on my leg, you came up to St. Catherine's and I got to ride on the outside runner and hold the strap.
That was terrible.
No, it was fun. And we didn't think anything was out of the ordinary.
I'd be arrested today.
Yes, you would.
For child endangerment.
Yes, you would.
And another great thing that you did was when we had hamburger day at St. Catherine's, you would take us out of school and take us up to, what was it called, the trails?
Western Trails.
Duncan Burgers. You really made us feel special by doing that. That was always great. And the other thing that was always terrific was when we got to go home for lunch. From school, we always had, like, the best lunch ever. Soup, sandwiches, everything was always so good. And I think that's why I love to cook and entertain. You set such a fine example of that, of how food gathers and provides comfort and love. And I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, Mary, that's
and all the
very
wonderful
sweet.
You've taught us.
That's very sweet. Thank you.
So
Thank you.
On that happy note, and the other thing I would say about you, Mom, is that your great sense of style, right, Therese? Always sharp. So thank you for everything, Mom.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
We're going to pass this on to Therese.
Okay. Therese. God, I feel like it's all out there now.
I gotta feel like Jimmy there 1 minute longer. Y'all be in therapy.
It's recording.
Hi, Mom. It's Therese.
Hi, Therese.
And Mary sort of stole my thunder, but that's okay.
Oh, sorry.
One of my family's favorite memories are when you came to Yellowstone with us twice. The first time when you came by yourself. And we were all six of us or five of us in the Jeep. The six of us in the Jeep driving. We went all over Yellowstone.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, my kids still talk about you walking around the bear-infested lake singing.
Oh, yes.
And whenever we hike.
We were afraid.
They sing and they'll say, like Grandma. And,
That was to scare the bears away, yeah, or animals. You got to make noise.
And we love that memory of Yellowstone with you. And I was wondering, what was your favorite place to visit?
Yellowstone's up there. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was amazing. Yeah, the Rockies, beautiful, beautiful. And that trip, that was a lot of fun. That was, you know, when you brought up about the singing, you know, John and Mary Alice and I went for a walk in, walk in the woods, and I was singing then. She said, oh, you hear something about the singing. I said, well, it keeps away the bears. If there are bears, there's bears here.
She just wanted to see butterflies and birds.
And, oh, yeah, we did track back to the lodge, I think.
That was great. So what's left, Mom? What other adventures are you looking to do in the future?
I love being the family all together, all of us. I really enjoy that. And I'm okay. I don't have to go too many places. I like to keep warm and have you all around me and enjoy your visits. And
so, Mom, I too am grateful because the people that I love most in the world are surrounding me right now. And yeah. I thank you for that.
We have so much fun together when we are, don't we?
Usually, yeah. Yes, we do.
We're just what did she say?
Usually.
Well, we do.
We do.
We do indeed. Yeah. There's nothing like family or Sean.
Yes.
Well, Shawnee has a question.
Oh, good. Good. Then I'm gonna
pass the mic over to Sean. Sean can come around. I'm gonna step. Why don't I step up?
Can you imagine what Rose and Mary Kate and Ellen would be saying? Oh my God.
I like talking about you usually, but most of all.
Can you get by,
I like
dear?
Talking about me.
Yeah, I can. I didn't want to unplug the cord.
Oh yeah, tricky there.
I'm Sean Carberry, and I'm here talking to my Nana on her birthday, and I'm filling in for my Uncle Paul right now. I'm in his seat right now.
Oh, you're filling in for Paul?
You got our 200 pounds.
I think Aunt Mary, my godmother, had a great thing to say about you always gathering us together with making great food. So I wanted to really ask how you got so good at cooking.
Oh, just by trial and error. If I'm not that good, but I it was trial and error. My aunt was a very good cook, and I loved her food.
Did she help you?
I learned from her a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, because I've always been a big fan of your food, that's for sure.
So, oh, you're sweetheart.
If you had got a college education, what would you have studied?
I think I'd like to have been a teacher.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. My mom's a teacher.
Yeah, I always thought that was a noble profession.
Yeah. Obviously, you were courageous coming alone to the States at my age. So I was wondering what your hopes and dreams were coming here.
Oh. Well, at the end of the war, which was 45-46, it was almost worse than during the war in England, and very depressed. So it would be, America was the land of opportunity, and we all knew it. We saw it in the movies, and everybody wanted to come here.
Yeah.
And I had three aunts here. So they offered to bring me here. And Annie came over and said, come on. And my mother encouraged me also. You want to do it, do it. And so I did.
Yeah.
And I'm very glad I did.
I'm glad too. I'm really glad. I don't have the amount of questions your children have, my aunts and uncles, but I just wanted to touch upon those ones. So.
Okay. No, they're good questions.
If you couldn't get to America, what country would you have immigrated to?
Oh, I never thought of any other kind of country. Certainly not Ireland then, because of the conditions, not because the people aren't wonderful in that, but it was depressed there also at that time. In fact, Europe was after the war. All of it, you know. So yeah. America was a shining beacon, really, in the whole world.
Well, I'm 10/28, and my mom's 85th birthday. The Chargers have a championship game, St. Catherine. So hopefully, on your birthday, Mom.
Oh, wouldn't that be the best gift?
You win a championship.
I do too. Amen.
Football's your favorite sport.
That's a good one.
Go ahead. You had a great home and block full of fun, with a great family. And what are some of your fondest memories of? Being at that house.
Oh, there's a lot of great memories. There was funny ones with three boys. They used to have... I don't know if I told you this story. We went to Frank's department store, and the three of them were... I heard them giggling and laughing. And I went around to see, and there was a boy model... And they'd stripped him. And then I was like, oh, my goodness, they pulled his pants off. So I started to try and pull him up. And his arm fell off or something. And I thought, oh, my God. So I quick gathered up and said, if anybody sees me, they think I'm a weirdo.
Yeah.
So we quickly got out of there. And then I was so different from having the two girls then, before them, because they used to have pee fights in the bathroom. I heard them all laughing one time, and I went in there, and that's what they were doing, pee fights.
She had all three of them in one room.
All the three, and Jerry was wonderful. He was always into sports, and we used to go and watch him, and that was fun.
You ready?
I guess I have one of my own questions. So I was obviously like decently young when Grandpa passed, but I always kind of regretted not spending enough time with him. So what were any memories that we made that I was around for?
What were memories? What?
Like Sean. What were the memories? Do you remember Dad with Sean?
Did he take you to... He was too young.
He didn't go to the field of dreams.
No, that was Sean. That was
with the Rosettis.
Rosettis.
I remember him taking us swimming at the cottage.
Garbury's.
Yeah, I have pictures at the cottage, but really like.
You know, he's been gone now 8 years, and you were only, so you might not have been big enough to go on those trips then. And then he passed, you know. For me, do you remember anything specific?
I remember him at the cottage, and he always took the kids to McDonald's for ice cream. That was a regular and top-notch. So you might have been in on the top-notch burger.
Yeah. He'd stop at the house with the donuts. I remember that.
I mean,
families.
The
first thing I think of when Grandpa, when I think of Grandpa is he'd have, when I walked through the door, he'd have 3 Oreos and a glass of milk ready for me.
Oh, that was nice.
And maybe after dinner, I'm going to pull up an ice cream or something. But
I remember before you then, you see, Martin would be, what, he's 21, is he? You used to take him to Top Notch. But I think he liked that himself, too.
Yeah.
It was a benefit for both of them. You know, with the burger and the milkshake, and it's time. Okay. Yeah.
But
time
I did. Wait, we got to wrap it up.
Wind it up.
Yeah, I'm done.
Okay, thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Sean, grandson.
I want to thank all the Carberries today, and we're missing Paul Carberry, who would also have some great questions. But thank you, Mom, again, for all your kindness and love.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, that was great, Mary. Good job, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.